Bruce, lead us in a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, thank you for this day, and Lord, thank you that you have brought us here again to worship you, and Lord, there is no greater joy, no better way to redeem the time than to be in the worship of you. And Lord, we thank you for these Filipinos, and Lord, we thank you for the letters, and thank you that we are able to help them financially and through prayer. And Lord, we do lift them up and pray that you would meet their needs.
Yes.
And that this woman and her son, Lord, would reconcile. That strife would cease. And pray that we can help her to recover her cameras, to have a livelihood. And Lord, we do think about these things that are happening in our country and in the world, Lord. And, and we know there's more and more manifestation of the evil. And Lord, we do look to you for your mercy and your grace and your goodness. And Lord, we know that all these things that happen are providential. They can happen to us as well as they can happen to those who are your enemies. But Lord, we can take great comfort in knowing that you do all things right.
Yes.
And our greatest comfort and thought is that we have your Spirit.
Amen.
And we know that no matter what occurs around us or even to us, that the end will be peace with you.
Yes.
And Lord, we do look forward to that day, and we look forward to each day knowing that we can go to your word to learn more of you and be rest assured that all things will work together for the good of your people and for your glory. And Lord, we thank you. We can think on these things. We can delight in them, and it brings us peace.
Mm-hmm.
And it brings us joy.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for those things we've heard already.
Amen.
And brother, how we do lift up our pastor to you and pray that you will fill him with your Spirit and the message that you have us to hear. And Lord, bless these messages on sermon audio.
Yes.
That people who aren't here and people throughout the world can hear truth. There's nothing like knowing the truth about the things of God. And it's in His name we pray. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, you can be turning to the third chapter of Matthew this morning. How time flies.
Surely does.
They said that time flies when you're having fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it flies anyway, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, just think about this. The Christmas season starts in 2 weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I think it's already started. I used to go into these stores, and they're full of Christmas stuff. So at least ornaments and things like that. But they're all worried that they're not going to be able to have the great Christmas that they always had before because they can't get the merchandise in. So,
right.
I'm really sad and tore up about it.
But, I am too. I'm completely worried about it.
Anyway, JT is talking about being somewhat afraid, you know, or fear, having fear of death. Again, I think anybody that says they don't have at least some just not being honest about it. But I think about it, and I think about, you know, how fast 80 years has gone by. And I think, well, you know, I might live another 10 years, but, you know, how fast? After 80 years has gone by as fast as it has, it ain't going to be, 10 years is not going to be that much longer, is it?
Right.
But that's the thing, though. We have this confidence that we will put off this body of death and put on a new body that is created in true holiness and righteousness, as long with our spirits. So that's the thing that we look forward to, but this is the work of God, isn't it? It's all the work of God.
Amen.
And as we've been meditating the last few several Lord's days, I guess, we're talking about the Holy Ghost, the very Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Where is He? Well, He's everywhere, isn't He?
Amen.
But He is especially in His people.
Amen.
He is in the church. He's in His people, and that's that's our whole guiding light, isn't it?
Amen.
Is the Holy Ghost shedding abroad in our hearts the knowledge of Jesus, to believe in Jesus, and in that belief translates then into obedience, doesn't it?
Amen.
It translates into worship, obeying God to worship Him.
Amen.
Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all of your strength. And the Holy Ghost works in us these things to do according to His will. And so we've talked about the Holy Ghost, and are we covering everything about the Holy Ghost? No, we're not. Like we haven't covered everything about the Father, we haven't covered everything about the Son, but we keep on, don't we?
Amen.
Every time that we speak the Word, we speak about God. And J.T. quoted the first verse of the first chapter of John already. And the Word, in the beginning, the Word was with God. And the Word was God. It makes you think more about what's in this Bible.
Amen.
Of course, the Word, again, is Christ. The Word is Christ. These words on this in this book that we call the Bible, there's no power in those words except as the Holy Ghost makes them alive to us. Otherwise, they're just words printed on a page and with ink. But as the Holy Ghost works in us, those words become Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's Christ in you,
mm-hmm.
the hope of glory. So we're talking about the Holy Ghost. We're talking about that He directs the work of God, right? The He is the power of God. We talked about Him being the sanctifier, right?
Mm-hmm.
And our teacher, He's our comfort. That's what Christ said, that He would send the Comforter, right?
Right.
And He is the love of God.
The love of God is shed abroad, the apostle said, in your hearts by what? By the Holy Ghost, right? And then he is the joy of God. The kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but what is it in? It's in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Well, but, you know, the question arises, and especially in our day, you need the baptism of be baptized by the Holy Ghost or and receive the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about even people after they're supposedly saved, these people come along and they, well, you've got to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. But it's amazing how that they don't, evidently don't read the Bible. They don't know the Word of God. They don't know the power of God. But in Matthew chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, John the Baptist says, "And I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Now, who is he talking about? He's talking about the Lord Jesus, right? And he's going to have a baptism, isn't he? And that baptism, John says, is with the Holy Ghost and, of course, with fire. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we have the Apostle Paul, somewhat clarifies that. That I'm talking about that baptism of the Holy Ghost. In verse 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, "For by one Spirit," capital S, "are we all baptized into one body." He says, "Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit." And that Spirit is the Spirit of God. It is the Holy Ghost. That's the only Spirit there is, isn't it? And so we understand that by one Spirit, the Holy Ghost, we are all baptized into one body. And I want to emphasize that word "all" there.
Amen.
It's every child of God. When, again, we've already said this in the messages before, but when a person is saved, when he is regenerated, I'm talking about that phase, if you will, of salvation. Now, there is another phase, that phase of sanctification, right? Mm-hmm. But isn't that, again, we've already covered that. We're sanctified by the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. So when we're saved, when we're regenerated, at the time of our regeneration, what is that? It's a new birth. Mm-hmm. It's being born from above. And how are we born from above? Mm-hmm. It's by the work of the Holy Ghost. He regenerates us and makes us anew. You become a new creature, a new creation of God in holiness. He has made you a holy nation, right? Mm-hmm. A peculiar people, all right enough. But at that time, we receive the Holy Ghost and we're baptized, as it were, into the body of Christ by the work of the Holy Ghost, who lives and abides within us. Now I know that's a that's kind of hard sometimes for us to really comprehend and put it and grasp, but it's true. And how do you know that? You know that by the work of the Holy Ghost that He does in us.
Amen.
And we are the work of God. We come to the Word that it might be made manifest that we are the children of God, or as Jesus puts it in the third chapter of John, that our works are wrought in us of God. That's the work of the Holy Ghost, that who lives and abides within us. So what about receiving the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God? We do this through faith, right?
Right.
It is it's the Holy Ghost that works the faith of Jesus in us. There's no other way to receive that. There's no other way to get it. In Galatians chapter 3, like JT now, if I can get these pages to separate here, I'll be all right. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of what?
The Spirit.
The Spirit. What is the Spirit there? Well, it's the Holy Ghost. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. How do you know that God is? By the faith of Jesus Christ. That is worked in us by the Holy Ghost. We know that God is, and we know that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
Mm-hmm.
This is pleasing to God because it's God's work.
Yes.
If it's our work, what is it worth?
It doesn't accomplish anything anymore.
No. It's filthy rags, isn't it?
Well, we lost it in the garden.
A long, long, long time ago.
And it can never be changed.
No. It can never be recovered as far as the human race is concerned.
Amen.
But you know, that's the amazing thing. The human race knows that there's something wrong with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're always trying to fix it, and how they're trying to fix it. Well, they're passing laws. They make more and more and more and more laws all the time. That's what they're doing up there in Washington, D.C., is making laws. That's what they're doing over up here in Austin. They're making laws. And what are those laws supposedly designed to do? Well, they're designed to save us.
Right.
Well, you know, the truth of the matter is, They would probably save us more if they do rescind all those
laws. True.
But the point is that the human race knows that there's something wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to fix it. They're always trying to fix it. But there's only one way that it can be fixed, and that's by the Spirit of God, and by receiving the Spirit of God. And otherwise, it's hopeless. There is no link. Why? Because it started out again, Brother Bruce, back there in the Garden of Eden, and it's just gotten worse ever since. The farther we go along, the worse it gets. Because the human race is depraved.
Amen.
It's totally depraved, again, for emphasis' sake. There's nothing good in the human race. There is no such thing as this a spark of divinity that they keep talking about. There's nothing good in the flesh.
And you know,
the spark of divinity, that's looking at it, you know, spiritually. And then physically, they talk about the God particle.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, they're going to try to explain life and truth and everything without God.
Without God.
And apart from God, it can't be explained.
That's it. That's what depravity is. Yeah.
And so it just goes on and on and on, doesn't it? But here he states it again plainly in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 there that we just read. He stated it plainly. Here he states it plainly again that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Mm-hmm.
What a wonderful thought that is. Acts chapter 6 and verse 5. It says, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of what?"
Mm-hmm. The Holy Ghost.
Yeah, and of the Holy Ghost. And Philip and Porcus, Prochorus, I don't know how it's pronounced that really, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, that what were they doing here?
Hmm.
Well, they were choosing out some deacons. Now, again, it would do the church is good today to read this again and see what a deacon is supposed to be. They've made the deacon everything under the sun except what he was supposed to be in the beginning. But haven't they done that with everything?
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing. It is so messed up, though. It's pitiful. But here's the point. That Stephen was a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not an English major, but I do know a little bit about grammar, and I know that punctuation has a meaning to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, what are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about when he says a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, there's no comma after faith. It's one and the same thing. The faith and the Holy Ghost is same thing. You can't have faith without the Holy Ghost being in you.
Well, yeah, of faith and of the Holy Ghost.
And of the Holy Ghost. But there's no comma there.
Right.
It's all one statement.
Right.
Together. It's kind of like when the Apostle Paul is talking about the Jesus giving gifts. He ascended into heaven to give unto man gifts. And he's talking about, you know, some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. There's no comma in there. It's the pastors and teachers are one and the same in that particular context. And so, you know, we need to read things the way that they are written. And understand the way that they're written. You know, God is not only the infallible in spiritual things, but he's infallible even in grammar.
Yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it? Acts chapter 11. In verse 24 it says, "For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people were added unto the Lord." Now who is he talking about here? Well, he's talking about full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Those two things seem to go together always, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
And they do go together. Our faith is given to us and sustained by the work of the Holy Ghost in us. Now you understand again that the very implication that we're reading here is that the Holy Ghost is in us and therefore we have faith.
Mm-hmm.
If the Holy Ghost is in you, you will have faith.
Amen.
If the Holy Ghost is not in you, there is no faith.
You're still depraved.
It's not the faith of God or the faith of Christ. I'm sorry.
You're still depraved.
Still depraved. And in the flesh, there dwelleth still no good thing. So, the Holy Ghost is in us of faith. We don't have to go through some formality, if you will, of receiving the Holy Ghost or being baptized in the Holy Ghost, as they say. When faith is wrought in us, that faith is by the work of the Holy Ghost in us. Again, this begins with regeneration.
Amen.
Titus chapter 3. I'm having trouble sure enough turning these pages today for some reason. They kind of want to stick together or something. But Titus chapter 3, beginning with verse 3, he says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of what?
Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost. There's that regeneration and that new birth. It's all spelled out, isn't it? So we receive the Holy Ghost at the time of our regeneration. Which goes on in verse 6, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
So here, the regeneration, it's by the Holy Ghost. We've already said that, but you know, isn't it a wonderful, beautiful, comforting thing to know that the Almighty God lives and abides in you in the person of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I wish I could really express that.
Amen.
Or a way that that it ought to be expressed. Christ in you. Again, the hope of glory.
Mm-hmm.
He's in us. And it's he that works in us, again, both to will and to do. And you know, yet we have this tendency. Every one of us has it to some more or less degree. We have this tendency tendency to want to help God. As if God, and as if those words that he speaks to us mean nothing. It's God that works in us.
Yeah.
It's God that works in us, both to will and to do. He does this. It doesn't say that, well, if I let him do it, or even if I want him to do it. It doesn't say that. It just makes a certain and absolute declaration. And I like that term, declaration. You know, he's not just saying it, he's declaring that this is the way it is. That he works in us. And what does that mean? That means you can rest.
I think that's the abundant life. That's,
you know, it is.
Everybody has life, and some people get confused thinking that life that they have, it is from God.
Yeah.
But it's not the abundant life.
No.
The abundant life is when that life you have is bringing your mind and your thoughts, your soul to God.
Right. It's casting down imaginations.
Yes.
Right.
Right. And every stronghold or...
It's bringing us into captivity to God through Christ Jesus. What a wonderful thing it is. Again, I think about Brother Ken White so many times, of course, but I think about that. There's one message in particular that he preached that I thought was the best message I'd ever heard, one of the best messages I ever heard. And he entitled it, Blessed Bondage
and
Hard Freedom.
Yes, that was.
And that's what he was emphasizing, is that what man calls freedom really is bondage, and what man calls bondage is really freedom.
Yes.
And it's just so wonderful to serve, be able to serve God. You have to have freedom.
Liberty,
yes.
But
to do that. Otherwise, you are in bondage to Satan.
Amen.
You are the servants of Satan. The servants of sin. So here we are. It's through the regeneration of the Holy Ghost we have this faith and this love of God. And so it is, when do you receive it? Again, it's through the regeneration of the Holy Ghost. John chapter 14, we've read these verses of Scripture several times already, that he is the Spirit of truth, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is the Holy Ghost that is the Spirit of truth, and he's been sent in the name of Jesus by the Father. And so we look at that, and we love to read it, and we love to think about it. But in Luke chapter 2, verses 25 and 26, he says, And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and what was upon him?
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost. Now, sometimes we have a problem, because many people believe that the Holy Ghost wasn't even known until the day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
Right.
You know? And I know that the Holy Ghost came in a great the showing of power there. And he enabled those men and women there that he endued a great power upon them for that work that they were getting, that God was getting ready for them to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the Holy Ghost has been around for a little while longer than that.
He shows up in the second verse of the scripture.
Of the scriptures, right. And what was he doing there in that second verse?
Of Genesis, is that what y'all talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Genesis.
Genesis, chapter 1, verse 2.
He said the second verse.
He brooded over the water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In other words, he was bringing forward life there. And everything was being set up there in that second verse.
Right.
So here we are. Simeon, it was a little while before Pentecost, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Simeon had been there in that temple a long time. He and Anna, right?
Yeah.
Had been there a long time. And he had to wait a long time. And what is the significance of that? The significance of that is that he had to be continually, right, assured that he was going to see Christ. Simeon, in this way, was just like Abraham, who hoped
against hope.
Now Simeon was getting pretty old, but nevertheless, he believed that he was going to see the Lord Christ before he died. Now, I guess that's one of the very few people that knew he wasn't going to die today.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because he hadn't seen the Lord Christ. He knew that he could not die, no way that he could die, until he saw Jesus with his eyes. And he did, didn't he? He did see Christ, but it's all by the work of the Holy Ghost. Again, I don't want us to use these words like this to be procrastinators. In other words, I don't want us to be do-nothingers. But I do believe that God is able to enable us to do what he wants us to do when he wants us to do it.
Sure.
Just like he was telling the disciples, you're going to stand before kings and judges, you know, but he said, do what? Nothing. Take no thought for what you shall say at that time. Why? Because it's going to be given to you, the Holy Ghost. He's going to put words in your mouth with what to say. That's the reason I keep saying, we can rest. We can rest in God. He's the Almighty Sovereign Lord, and he is able to save us, when he wants to, according to his time, then he's also able to cause us to do what he wants us to do. He will enliven the Holy Ghost within us to speak that which we need to speak, and he'll also enliven us to shut up when we all shut up.
Mm.
That's part of the meaning that is in the letter to the church at Philadelphia. Mm. What did he say?
Mm.
He openeth.
Oh.
No man shut it, but he also shuts. And no man opens. The second part is just as important as the first part.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow men claim to believe that God is able to open doors, right?
Yeah.
But they don't seem to understand that God also shuts doors. But it's all the work of the Holy Ghost. John chapter 14. We will go to John chapter 14. I'm not going to read all of that over again, but verse 21. I'm going to go read first. But he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?
Mm.
Now, you see, that's the problem that modern-day so-called Christianity has, isn't it?
Yeah.
Modern-day Christianity thinks that that God's going to manifest himself to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So we go on. Jesus answered unto him and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things,
mm-hmm,
and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Well, I'm so smart, so I don't need the Holy Ghost, right?
Mm.
No. I don't know exactly what you say about being dumb about a lot of things.
Yeah.
Weren't we all?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we still are to some degree, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And yet we know what we know. I think you and I were talking about that again this morning. We certainly confess that we know nothing without the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
But we do know what we know. And that statement is made several times in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And we know.
Right.
We know. Now, everybody thinks that they know. fact, most people think that they know a lot more than you know.
Oh, yeah.
And especially when it comes to the Bible, they know their own thing. Mm-hmm. They've got it all figured out, haven't they?
Right.
But we know that the only way that we know is by the work of the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost in us.
Mm-hmm.
Every word that's in this Bible has to be revealed.
Yeah.
There has to be a revelation. And the only way that comes is by the work of the Holy Ghost. How does the Holy Ghost come? In verse 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." Says, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid."
Mm-hmm.
That's what we were talking about, JT. You were talking about that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why would God say this? Because he knows there is that propensity to be afraid. But it's all through the Comforter, right?
Right.
Through the Holy Ghost sent down to us. It's in peace. Now I love Isaiah chapter 32. Again, seems like we can't study the scripture without getting into Isaiah.
Yeah.
But Isaiah chapter 32, these words in verse 17, "And the work of righteousness shall be east."
Mm-hmm.
Now, the kingdom of heaven, again, is not in need of drink, but what is it in?
Mm-hmm.
Righteousness and peace. Mm-hmm. And joy in the Holy Ghost. That joy that's in the Holy Ghost only comes through righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Again. And that's what he's going to say. The work of righteousness and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a long time, isn't it?
Yeah. Said in another place, they don't make haste.
Yeah. They don't. We don't make haste. But why? We rest in God.
Mm-hmm.
Forever. You don't have to worry about losing that peace tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be there. Isaiah 26, chapter 26, while we're in the book of Isaiah. Verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in not just peace, but
perfect
what
peace.
Kind of peace?
Perfect peace.
And perfect, perfect, perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Again, that trust is same thing as faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
And where does it come from?
Mm-hmm.
It comes from the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, living and abiding in us. Hebrews 11, right quick. I'm sorry, Hebrews 12 and 11. Here's what he says. Again, now, no chastening for the present seemeth to joy, but grievous, nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceful fruits of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And somebody might say, well, the Holy Ghost is not mentioned in these verses. Well, he is mentioned, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's the only one that works righteousness in us. So he is always there. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Once again, to say, well, the Holy Ghost is not mentioned there. Well, he is, because Jesus is mentioned there. And Jesus sent the Holy Ghost to be our comforter, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So he's always present with us. And we don't have to be concerned about God getting his work done. He's perfectly capable.
Oh, yeah.
that's what just flabbergasts me about most of these. As I've said in time past, it always amazes me how that these preachers get up and they talk about this. There's nothing you can do. Nothing you can do to gain salvation. You can't work and all this and everything. Nothing you can do. And then they'll turn right around and beg people to do this and do that. You've heard it. You know what I'm talking about. And then I'm shaking my head and thinking, you ought to at least be consistent. Our Armenians are at least consistent. But again, just so
you said do these things and live.
Yeah.
That's what he said here in the 8th verse, actually, too. Finally, brethren, whatsoever ever things are true, whatsoever ever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, don't do this.
And we do it by the work of the Holy Ghost.
No. Mm-hmm.